Amen. Good morning once again to all of you. We are so grateful this morning to celebrate with you Mother's Day. And once again, thank you, Elder Bobby, for doing such a wonderful, excellent job. And what you shared with us this morning, I hope that you have it copyrighted because, you know, you need to send that to Hallmark. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was powerful and great and purely at the hand and the writing of Elder Bobby. So we appreciate you sharing what you did today in celebration of our moms. And again, we extend to all of you, all of you who are on the call, and especially our wonderful mothers, peace and blessings. God obviously knew more than any man will ever know the blessings to come when he made woman. Even in 2021, it's not good for man to be alone. And it was never intended, according to God's master plan, for man to live a lonely life. I'm so glad that the father saw about his boy. I'm talking about me, Avery, and he hooked me up with my beautiful bride, Jaquita, and I want to celebrate her as well on this Mother's Day and to honor her for being such a wonderful mother. I don't know what Sydney and Danielle would do without their mama. Hallelujah. And thank God that she's been there to help them, even during the season of a pandemic, to get past the virtual process as it relates to school. Hallelujah. So I'm so thankful for her this morning. And I'm also thankful to my own mom. Mama Delia, as we would affectionately call her, and also for my dad, Daddy Mac, both who have gone on to be with the Lord. But indeed, this morning, I am grateful to Mama Delia and all that she instilled in me to live a life more committed to Christ.
Yeah.
So as we move further and really receive the word today on this Mother's Day, we consider, in particular, St. Luke's writing again, as recorded in chapter 24, verse 27. And in that verse, we understand that the Lord Jesus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded unto the two disciples and all the scriptures concerning himself. And it is from that verse that I want to continue from the thought that Elder Roberts shared with us so beautifully on Wednesday night. And that thought is this: God's promises are our hope and our future. God's promises are our hope and our future. The thought that frames for each and every believer the life-changing and quickening spirit that is upon us. To adapt, to improvise, and to overcome. When we are between the faith that comes by hearing and the real-time manifestation of the promises that come to us by the Word of God. On their way home to Emmaus, the disciples had a legitimate rationale to be depressed and to be discouraged. And to feel totally disenfranchised, not knowing that at the same time that they were walking, with the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In their moment of despair and depression, as we read the text, we see Christ walking with them and reminding them as he expounded upon the scriptures that God's promises are our hope and our future. Even though that they had forgotten, the promises of God were still in effect. They were as real then as they are right now. Today, especially on this Mother's Day, it should be emphasized more that God's promises are not always some isolated act, some miraculous events that we've been told about, like the ram in the bush with Abraham or the manna from heaven with God's chosen people. The promises of God, hallelujah, have come through the loins of men and the wombs of women, having already predestined that Jesus would come in furtherance of his redemption plan. God told Abraham that in you, Abraham, all families of the earth shall be blessed. And on this Mother's Day, I believe that the Holy Spirit seeks to remind us through Dr. Luke's record in chapter 24 that the first promise foretold by God himself was also predestined to come through the womb of a beloved virgin mama. Hallelujah. As Jesus began to expound upon the scriptures, beginning with Moses, who also gave us the book of Genesis, I believe that the Lord Jesus took the two disciples back, possibly, to what is written specifically in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And the verses read like this: "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." It is in verse 15 that the gospel is preached of the Redeemer to come. The famous passage is what Bible scholars refer to as the Protovangelium, the first gospel, the Protovangelium, the first gospel, the announcement of the perpetual struggle between the devil, that old serpent, and the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman that points to the Lord Jesus, who was conceived in a virgin and would, in the end, would have sure and guaranteed victory. Yes. Before, will you read the text in Genesis 3? Before our African mother, and I'm saying it like that because she was more African, likely more African than she was not. So let me say it like that. Just before our African mother had a name, because she hadn't been named yet, when you read the verses, our African mother had a name. She had the gospel preached to her. And the gospel was that of God's prophetic promise that would culminate in the birth of his son, who we know as the Lord Jesus, that would crush out and destroy the head, the power, that is, of the serpent over sin and death at the place they call the Gotha, which means skull. I believe that Adam heard, when you read the text, he heard the message too. And I believe that the word of God's power quickened so strongly with him that his mind was transformed to see that she, who he knew simply as a woman, was in truth, and according to the Father's master plan, the mother of all living. Adam, hallelujah, with eyes now wide open, saw more than just his woman. By the revelation of God, Adam now saw that his woman had godly purpose. So he called her Eve, which means the mother of all living. What their minds could not comprehend, their genetic code and DNA had to obey to bring us closer by generation to generation, the promise revealed concerning the seed of the woman. So the gospel message first preached to Adam and Eve from the lips of God gave us the first and ultimate promise of the body that has become the hope and the future of every believer. The unquestionable truth, the truth of hospitality, and the Lord of hosts, who we know is Jesus Christ. When we look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, Moses was inspired by the Holy Spirit when he wrote this: "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and that shall bruise his heel." In my spiritual mind, I can see the Lord Jesus expounding to Cleopas and the other disciple what Moses had written in this verse and what that phrase meant. That phrase there, her seed. The seed of the woman, the seed of the mother, which was all a part of God's master plan. Know here, hallelujah, that God didn't preach the seed of a man. God preached the seed of the woman. And you women know better than me and Bobby know, hallelujah. And the other men on this call know that the women don't have seed. Women have eggs. But the paradox here is pointing us to the immaculate conception of Jesus Christ through the seed of the woman, which was preached to us in Genesis 3 and 15 by God himself. It is in verse 15 that I can see, hallelujah, that the gospel is not only preached, but where I can hear God say, if you will, Happy Mother's Day. Hallelujah. When he declared the sure and guaranteed victory of her seed over that serpent that we know is the devil. I'm sure that the Lord Jesus connected the dots for Cleopas and the unnamed disciple, that this verse pointed to the prophetic and miraculous virgin conception that would take place inside the womb of Jesus' beloved mother, who we know is Mary. And again, it's not the virgin birth. It's the virgin conception. And it was a virgin conception of a woman whose ancestry is connected to the wombs of African, Middle Eastern, and Hebrew mothers. As a reminder, hallelujah, this morning, of the geographical context of the upbringing of Christ. Listen to what is written in the book of St. Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And when they, referring to the wise men, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring you word. For Herod would seek the young child to destroy him. Verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Are you hearing this with me this morning? Joseph was sent a message for the safety of the young child, Jesus, and his mother, Mary, to go to Egypt. Not to Rome, but Egypt. Not to what we call Spain, but to Egypt. Not to what we call Great Britain, but to Egypt. Not to Tehran or Baghdad, but to Egypt. Out of Egypt have I called my son. I was reminded over the weekend that on my birthday in 2006, I had just gotten recently married, hallelujah. And my mama, as she was talking to me on my birthday, she asked me a question. And she said, do you know what the problem is with the black man? I said, what? Because Mama didn't talk in the... under the umbrella of civil rights or other issues related to race. But she said, do you know what the problem is with the black man? And I said, Mama, I don't know. I don't know. What's the problem? And she said, he don't protect his woman. Hallelujah. And that always stirred something up inside of me to be a better husband, a better father, a better brother, a better shepherd. And for the brothers who are on this call, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who protected his woman, the bride of Christ. In fact, Paul admonished husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, brothers, we've got to do better and to love under the standard of sacrifice and not selfishness. And let me say this again, because it bears repeating on this Mother's Day, that I believe that the Holy Spirit would not have us to walk any longer in the shackles of ignorance about our place and our role in the promise of God as the descendants of Africa. Prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, the scriptures are clear that mothers of African, Middle Eastern, and Hebrew descent would be the wombs through whom the Messiah will be born. I hope you're listening with me this morning. Women who we know as Sarah the doubter, Rahab the harlot, Ruth the descendant of Lot's incestuous relationship. Regardless of their issues, their character flaws, their questionable and checkered past, all of these mothers were in the line of the ancestry of Jesus Christ. Through the womb of Eve, the womb of Sarah, the womb of Rahab, the womb of Ruth, and yes, the womb of the blessed mother of Jesus, Mary. God is showing us that he does not call the qualified, he qualifies the call. Don't let the past check the box of limitations on your purpose in the present and in the future that has been predestined for you in Christ Jesus this morning. I want to ask you, are you called this morning? Have you heard the good news that in you all families of the earth shall be blessed, because you are the seed of Abraham and Sarah by faith? Have you received the revelation that he gave to the prophet Jeremiah when he said this? For I know the thought that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God's covenant with Abraham and promise of a son came also with the promise that Sarah would be the mother of nations. We go from Eve, the mother of all living, to Sarah, the mother of nations. Sarah, who doubted that such could happen, that she could conceive when she was past her years, in particular, being at the age of 90. In Genesis chapter 18, we find that when the Son of Man and the two angels with him were hosted by Abraham, he reaffirmed the promise of God and said that he would certainly return according to the time of life, and that Sarah shall have a son. Sarah heard the prophetic message of the Son of Man and laughed within herself, asking, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? But the unquestionable truth, Jesus Christ himself, as the Son of Man at that time, asked a more pointed and powerful question. And the unquestionable truth asked this. He said, is anything too hard for the Lord? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Whatever you believe that God has called you to do, he's asking the question, as you may be doubting, is there anything too hard for Jehovah? Again, what Abraham's and Sarah's minds could not comprehend, that genetic code and DNA had to obey. And a year later, after having conceived, Sarah gave birth to a son. Sarah, who was 90 plus years old, and Abraham, who was 100 years old, looked into the eyes of their promised son to see God's word fulfilled, and through whom we would come to know our hope and our future in Christ Jesus. The woman who doubted because she thought she was too old to experience the power of God became the mother who called her baby boy Isaac. Isaac is not just some random name, but a name purposely given. The name means laughter. Isaac means laughter, and what it meant for her is that, look, God has fulfilled his promise to me through motherhood. And everybody who hears me laughing, hallelujah, oh my God, they're going to know that God is able to perform everything that he has promised. And we move from Sarah and we get to someone by the name of Rahab. And God would choose Rahab, who was described as the harlot, as another matriarch in the ancestral line leading us to Christ. It is Rahab who shows hospitality to the two spies and hides them by faith as the Hebrews set out to conquer the promised land. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 35, she is counted as one of heroic faith. And that verse reads like this: by faith, hallelujah, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab, with the suspect occupation, hallelujah, is regarded as a woman of faith, a woman of hospitality, and a woman certainly of repentance. Later on, she would marry Salmon of the tribe of Judah. And she was the mother of Boaz. Where have you heard that name from? Well, Boaz married Ruth. Boaz is considered her kinsman redeemer and becomes a symbol of Christ's redemption of his bride, the church, the body of Christ. Ruth, if y'all remember, as I said before, was the outcome, the descendant of a sordid path, a descendant of Lot. Incestuous relationship. But Ruth would be, she would become the mother of a son named Ohed, who was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of King David. In spite of where Ruth had come from, the promise of God through her would bring us closer to the seed of the woman. It is through the line of King David, a descendant of Rahab, and Ruth's great-grandson, that God's promise of the Messiah would come. And by the time we get to the writings of Matthew and Luke, you know, genealogies usually do not include mothers. But thank God for what is written. Thank God that Matthew included the names of Rahab and Ruth when giving our Lord's family tree through the line of Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Dr. Luke himself, in his book, also gives us the genealogy of Jesus, not through Joseph, but through Mary in Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Chapter 3, verse 23 of St. Luke reads like this: and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Well, Heli was the father of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus. And Dr. Luke wisely connects us to the first gospel preached concerning the seed of the woman by showing us that Jesus was the son of Heli through the seed of the woman Mary. Family, God's promises are still our future and our hope this morning. Listen to the promises with me. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, we read it like this: and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign, a banner, if you will, of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Then we go to Revelation 5 and 5, which reads like this. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed to open the scroll and its seven seals. Amen, amen. It points us back to the seed of the woman. So let me close here. Let me close. God's ultimate promise, his redemption, his reconciliation, his salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ came to us on that blessed Mother's Day when the Virgin Mary was overshadowed by the power of the Holy Ghost and conceived in her womb, of worship, the Holy One, Jesus Christ himself. Sister and mother, I can hear the Spirit crying out again. Know you not that your body, hallelujah, is a temple, hallelujah, of the Holy Ghost. Your body ain't no playground. Your body is precious. It ain't to be manipulated and merchandised, but transformed by the renewing of your mind to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Because the Son lives and is sitting at his right hand. And because he lives, Jesus, who has triumphed over sin and death. Because he lives, Jesus, the resurrection, who has the keys to abundant life in this age and the eternal life to come. Because he lives, Jesus, who is the Lion of Judah, hallelujah, and the root of David. Because he lives, who was conceived in the womb of Mary, the seed of a woman, hallelujah. We have hope this morning. We have a blessed future this morning. We have an expected in this morning. We have joy. We have peace. We have victory. We have love this morning. But God, hallelujah, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son through the seed of that blessed woman, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God, and this is the part that I like, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So this morning, because of God's promises, we have hope and we have a future. And that hope and that future, God, includes, hallelujah, our beloved mothers who have been part of the master plan from the beginning on to the present age. And we love our mothers, and we thank you for what you continue to do to make us strong in the Lord and in the body of Christ. At the cross,